knowledge fight.
And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan!
Jordan!
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today?
My bright spot today, Jordan, is being wrong and it
Ooh.
Being okay.
Ooh. This is our after Sesame Street as episode.
Yeah,
right
maybe.
Here. Okay.
But there's something in life that sometimes things are, you know, you're afraid of or like you worry about, and then it's not really that big a deal.
Sure.
You're okay.
Yeah.
Like I remember when you start doing stand up, one of the best things that can happen is your first bomb. And you're really, really worried about it, but then you go through it.
How do you do it? How do they live like this? Yeah.
You go through it and you experience how horrible it can be to be on stage and be like, they hate me.
Yeah.
Nothing is happening here.
These
I'm failing.
These people genuinely hate me personally.
And then you go to bed and you wake up the next day and you're fine. You know, like and I had a sort of a reminder of that experience on our last episode. I thank the people who caught this
because
it was cripplingly embarrassing.
Crucial error.
on our last episode, Alex was talking about North Vietnam, and I swear I heard him say North Korea, and I responded as if he had.
I know.
And oh my God, that was embarrassing.
Hey, I went along with you, so eggs on my face as well.
Yeah, you're bad QA.
Yeah, I'm a bad helper. I'm here for support, and that means not getting in the way.
I've tried to sort of analyze where that happened, like where that disconnect happened, because I know the difference between North Vietnam and North Korea.
What?
I think I've been listening to a bit of that 2003 stuff, and he's singularly preoccupied with war with North Korea at the time.
Right.
So I think I was just in that that space where if he says North, it's going to be North Korea.
Yeah.
And it's pretty remarkable to me that experience of realizing, oh my God.
Yeah.
I couldn't hear him say the right words.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, no, it's weird. It's,
but
you know what? It's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Nothing. Nobody's dead. Mm. Nobody's hurt. Everybody's doing just fine.
And thank you to the folks who emailed me about it. Another bright spot, the people aren't real mean.
That is a big bright spot.
Yeah.
Hey, douchebag!
Mm-hmm.
This is North Vietnam!
Yeah.
No, everybody was like, hey, I'm sure this was a normal accident that happens. We all make mistakes all the time.
And for the sake of total transparency, I'm bringing this up now because I cut it out of the past episode, the last episode, and reposted it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kind of felt like, I know how this goes. Like, I'll still get emails about Chumbawamba.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
I don't want to.
Did they ever correct that they thought they were Nazis? And it's like, yes, we got there.
Yeah. Listen to the next episode.
We got there.
Yeah. I just don't want to have more lightning rods for that. So just call myself out and cut it out of the episode.
Asked and answered.
Move forward.
Yeah, we're all past it.
What's your bright spot?
My bright spot, Dan, is I got my new tattoo.
It looks great.
It's really, really great. I was, this is... So I've got probably, you know, 15 to 20, somewhere in that range.
A lot of birds.
And I've gone to like 8 or 9 different artists. This was the first guy where I was like, oh, this is not a guy who does just tattoos. This is not a tattoo guy.
He's
like sponsored by people. And like, this is a guy. And as he was doing the tattoo, you know how sometimes you're like, oh, what's that? But there's not that much of a big difference between, you know, that kind of thing. And it's like, this is a 95-mile-an-hour fastball against an 80-mile-an-hour where you're like, oh, okay, there's a whole different world here. I got it.
There's a craft.
Yeah. This is my guy now. But, he was amazing.
But, you know, an 80-mile-an-hour fastball can still...
Still great. I love all my other tattoos, too.
Strike out.
I love all my other tattoos, too. They're fantastic.
Well, that's great.
They really are great, but this guy was so fucking good.
I mean, the alternative to it, too, would have been like... you're not happy with it. And so I'm glad that this is the...
Yeah, it worked out real well.
This is the follow-up.
I would have been happy with it, because what I did was mirroring the other side, right? So it seems it's fairly simple to just go, okay, well, he wants something like that.
Yeah, bird on the wrist, bird on the other side of the wrist.
Exactly. Mm. And then, but the way that he just handled the coloring and the shading and the way that he put all that together, just so good.
I'm excited to see when the plastic comes off.
Yeah.
So, Jordan, today we are going to be talking a little bit about the present day of Alex Jones's show.
Uh-huh.
We're going to be talking about August 24th.
I was so ready for that blackjack. So close. How old are we?
I don't know. Quite immature, whatever the answer is.
Indeed.
So this is this week, and I wanted to check in, see how things were going. You know, this is Tuesday. Alex is... coming off of a very disappointing Trump rally where he said that people should get vaccinated.
Yep.
Alex is not happy about that.
I wonder why.
He doesn't like vaccines.
Strange.
Simultaneously, Owen Schroyer has turned himself into the feds. I don't know.
I do like the idea of Trump being like in this headspace of like, why are all these idiots mad at me? I just told them to get the vaccine. Like, clearly having no idea that this is entirely his fault.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he's just so dumb. He's like, what are you guys being stupid about?
Can't believe it.
Insane.
So, I mean, look, you encourage an audience in a certain direction, and then you directly contradict what they believe you to believe.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they're going to boo you.
They get real mad.
Yeah, they don't like
it. They get
real mad. So we're going to get to business on the 24th. But before we do, Jordan, let's take a little moment and say hello to some wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, Zebra One. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Zebra One.
This is a correction from last time.
Okay.
Actually, we had somebody that I forgot the sort of subtitle of their name.
Oh, yeah. It was North Zebra Nam.
No. Oh. This is Rapture Princess versus Obama Decepticon. And then the tagline or the subtitle, Battle for the Altar of Selene. Ah. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Next, Paul's roommate, Nick. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Paul's roommate, Nick.
Thank you. This is a name that people behind it thought would be really funny to hear me try and say. So,
here we go.
So thank you so much. El Podcast Blanco de la Nueva Ultra Derecha. I was so close.
You were really doing
great.
You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And finally, we got a technocrat out there. That's I listen to KN. I think that's Knowledge Fight, but most people abbreviate it KF, but I'm not going to judge.
Don't worry about it.
I listen to KN in bed, and now I can't fall asleep without Dan's silky voice and Jordan's yelling. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large. I declare info war on you.
Thank you so much. Stop listening to this when you go to bed.
I was going to say, that would be like if we sold a tape of ocean waves occasionally punctuated by a pterodactyl screaming.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm going to do something. Have a sweet dream. Go to sleep. You're at peace. Wake up! So also like to say thank you to someone who is added to Celine's family.
Ooh.
Todd out there. Todd D.
Todd
that makes
D.
Three D's at the end.
Three D's of a and yeah.
Todd has adopted I wrote it out phonetically.
It's a pangolin.
Pangolin, yes.
It's a pangolin.
It sounds like penguin.
It's not penguin, but it's pangolin.
For some reason, whenever I see that word, I want to add like two syllables in the middle of it.
Like, pangolin.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, yeah, totally.
The word fucks with me and I resent it.
I keep finding myself going, pangolin. Mm. Like, oh no, this isn't going to go well.
I thank you so much for adopting this fine armadillo creature.
God. They're cute.
That's what you say.
I think they're very cute.
They are cute. They're all
they're
all
in
God's
Celine's
creatures.
Family now. They're not God's creatures.
They're represented.
Anymore. They're in Celine's family.
True. So here we are on the 24th. Here's where Alex is at as we set sail.
Okay.
There is incredibly beautiful opposition to the clear tyranny of 1984 proportions that is taking place across the world. And you're going to find out who's for slavery and who isn't. Now, I don't lionize Bill Maher. I've been a big enemy of Bill Maher. We had listeners take over. I mean, I didn't do it. I didn't order him to do it, but he blamed me, so I took the blame. I mean, I said, yeah, I support it. Take over his live studio audience a couple times, exposing Building 7 and the fact that it was blown up. But when he gets things right and comes out and says, don't block ivermectin, don't censor the internet, don't censor Alex Jones, Alex Jones gets to speak.
I'd really be curious to know if when Politically Incorrect got canceled, Alex was speaking out on behalf of Bill Maher.
No, he was absolutely saying that you shouldn't silence this voice.
I don't know.
Very important free speech.
He might not have
issue.
Been on air. No, he was, because he got Politically Incorrect got canceled after 9/11.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Huh.
Yep.
I don't know. I'd be curious about that, but I don't have any of those episodes, and maybe he wouldn't have even mentioned it.
Possible.
So this is one of these instances here, this clip, where Alex begins a thought, then he rambles so much that the second half of the if-then statement just gets totally lost.
Yeah, why would you need it?
He's saying that he doesn't like Bill Maher, but when he says things that Alex perceives as true, Alex has got to support it. I fully agree with that under normal circumstances. For instance, I think Alex is a lazy, dumb, fraudulent buffoon, and I hate his worldview with a passion. But I do agree with him about civil asset forfeiture. We may arrive at our positions differently, and we may never actually be able to work together toward opposition to this thing that we share opposition towards.
Right.
But I can understand that even the person I think is the worst can be in alignment with my beliefs on occasion. It's possible.
At a fundamental level, the government shouldn't steal from you seems very obvious.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's not what's up with Alex and Bill Maher. Alex believes that Bill Maher is one of the main mouthpieces of the globalist conspiracy in the media. Alex constantly claims that, quote, the left or the globalists have made some announcement of their plans, and the only thing he has to back it up is a clip from Bill Maher's show. The entire narrative that the left wanted to crash the economy in order to punish Trump, that relied just on a bad joke that Bill Maher made, and I guess maybe a bad dream that Alex had, but that's just what I'm guessing.
That's always in there.
The explanation for why Bill Maher is now saying things that Alex agrees with is not a simple matter of someone you don't like has the same perspective as you do on a point. If anything Alex says means anything, then Bill Maher is on the globalist payroll, and he would never be allowed to say the sort of things that Alex is now applauding him for saying.
Or, if he was saying those things, he is a shill for the globalists who is controlled opposition. There's simply no way to trust him because he's working for the globalists.
Perhaps. The issue isn't as easy to dismiss as just saying, like, I gotta give it up to Bill Maher. There's just this larger contradiction that Alex is ignoring, and that is that Bill Maher works for the devil.
Yeah.
He works for the fucking devil.
Yeah. No. I mean, don't you remember all those times whenever people were like, hey, look. I know Goebbels does a lot of bad things, but he's always really said nice things about me. So I kind of think he's working against Hitler at the end. Yeah.
So there's a strong part of me that thinks that when Alex says, like, he's the official mouthpiece of the globalist, what he's trying to say is, I don't like them. I suspect that Alex knows that his show would look really pathetic if he replaced all the intrigue and supposedly documented conspiracies with just him whining about how he doesn't like people and certain ideas, but that's pretty much what's underneath the entire show. It's pretty remarkable.
Here are a bunch of documented examples of people being mean to me.
Yeah.
Now I will tell you why I don't like them for the next 6 years.
Here's a documented, it's in the white papers that I think this guy's a prick. Great. Cool.
I was at a bar with Chuck Schumer and he didn't tip enough, so fuck that guy.
So Alex plays this clip from Bill Maher's show that is, like, pretty encouraging. It's like, what the fuck are we doing?
You know, because, like, now they want us to do these boosters we were talking about with Andrew. I mean, I don't want a booster. I never wanted the vaccine. I took one for the team. And by the way, you know who doesn't get a lot of vaccines? Millennials. I know a lot of millennials, especially the 20-year-olds. They don't want it. They don't want it. They don't think they need it. They're probably right. But I tell them, I didn't want it either. I took one for the team. But every 8 months, you're going to put this shit in me? I don't know about that. Maybe I don't need one. I don't want a one-size-fits-all. My body may be different than your body.
Nothing screams hip like a 65-year-old dude who knows a lot of millennials.
Oh, my God.
Also, just to fill Bill in on it, 20-year-olds aren't millennials. Millennials are between 25 and 40 at
this point. We're old now. Everybody remembers we're old. Why do people still call kids millennials? They're completely different from us. We're old.
Also, there's no reason to just conclude that booster shots for COVID would be required every 8 months. A lot of times people are recommended to get booster shots for vaccines on a particular schedule. Like for tetanus, it's like every 10 years. What's going on here is that Bill Maher is falling into the same trap that the right-wing media is exploiting, where they take the CDC's announcement that people who are 8 months past their point of full vaccination could be eligible to get a booster shot, and then they're reporting that as if it means that people are going to need booster shots every
forever.
8 months.
Forever.
That's a lazy conclusion to come to, and I understand why it's the kind of conversation that plays on Bill Maher's show. His whole brand is like trying to be edgy, sort of funny, and impotently iconoclastic, so this is exactly how he would have that talk. It's just not a serious point. The Department of Health and Human Services put out a press release discussing the option of getting a booster shot, and it's exactly that, an option. It'll offer greater protection, but there's no indication from the text that anyone's going to be required to take it. Some people, like Dr. Celine Gunder of the NYU Medical School, they're a little bit wary of the booster plan, but not for the same reasons as Alex and some dum-dums like Bill Maher. Gunder explained to NPR that, quote, vaccines need to be thought of as population-level interventions. Also from the article, quote, she argues that getting a higher percentage of people vaccinated will protect the community more than giving already vaccinated people additional shots because it provides community immunity, which reduces the amount of virus present.
I think she's clearly forgotten that we don't give a shit about community and I only care about myself. Give me protection and then no one else.
Another voice criticizing the plan is Dr. Mike Ryan, the head of the World Health Organization's Health Emergencies Program. Ryan makes the very solid point that there are tons of people in the developing world who are in need of vaccines, and that prioritizing boosters was like, quote, planning to hand out extra life jackets to people who already have life jackets and leaving other people to drown. There's a lot of intertwined issues that touch on this plan to have booster shot campaigns in the United States, but all of the actual reality-based things have nothing to do with what these idiots like Alex and Bill Maher make their careers complaining about. So there's real discussions to be had. It's just, it's not these...
That's such a great analogy. That's such a great analogy because it's so fucking airtight. Like, I imagine somebody hearing that guy say it to their face and going like, well, I mean, when you put it like that, it does sound bad.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it. Like, there's not much to say to it other than like, yeah, you're right. Yep. Fuck.
Yeah. I think the best argument you could have to that is just sort of like staring at the person quizzically.
Yeah, just... Yeah. That's when you close the door behind them.
Yeah. So Alex does a little bit of yelling. He likes to.
You know, it's a Thursday.
You know, there's a lot of people who are blaming anti-vax people and people who refuse to get vaccinated for kids having to wear masks.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's their fault.
No, it's not.
No, I mean, it's directly their fault.
No, it's Fauci.
No, he knows cause and effect.
No, it's Fauci.
Oh, shit.
So you're holding us hostage and then saying, oh, those of you that don't take the shots, you're the reason two-year-olds got to wear a mask when it does nothing. You people are damn cult leaders, and we see through you. You need to be in frickin' prison. You people cooked it up. You released it, and you need to be held, and you need to be charged, and you need to be tried, and you need to have your necks broken. After you've been convicted legally in a court of law.
Oh, my God.
Good save. Good save. Good save.
Wow.
Good save.
Was that one. That one should count in law. Yeah.
You know what I bet? there was enough of a pause there that I bet somebody in his earpiece just went.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No. If somebody's like.
Alex.
If you include that in a fucking trial and they're like, well, see, he said it at the end. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. You know he didn't mean that fucking shit. Fuck you.
Yeah, I got carried away. And
yeah,
then...
No. You said it. Own up to it.
So, Jordan, I have a question for you. This is time for Knowledge Fight InfoWars quiz. So what's the plan?
Today?
No. Okay. So based on everything you know about the COVID conspiracy that Alex has been pitching.
Right.
What does it lead to? What is the end goal of all this for the globalists?
I believe the globalists want to wipe out 90% of the population
and
then keep a utopic state just for themselves after the devastation has settled.
I'm not even positive I'm going to...
I mean, do they want to get off planet now?
I think they might want to get off planet.
I think they want to get off planet.
They have armored redoubts, but I don't know how permanent that is.
Yeah, that's not like a forever solution.
No,
you got to get off planet. And they're working with extra-dimensional beings who I assume have promised them to get off planet.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're just trying to get rid of us.
Sure. that's sort of towards the end. But
right.
The COVID thing is to kill off most of the population, right? No.
No, the COVID thing is to get us to take the vaccines to kill off most of the population.
Right, right. Good clarification.
Yeah.
Apparently not. Apparently this is all just to cause a financial collapse.
Oh, really?
That's why they're sending Satanism on TV and pedophilia on TV and world government on TV and all these lies because they're getting ready for a total financial collapse. And, you know, we really should just talk about that because this demoralization, these poison shots, that's just getting us ready for the collapse. And, you know, you tune in here to get Tamara's news today.
And I don't even give that to you tomorrow.
We'll start the next hour. I'm going to get more into what's coming next in this total collapse because there's still time to mitigate how bad it's going to be, but not much.
What?
Yeah, man. So it's apparently all about the summer of rage.
How?
The dollar is going to collapse.
Give me one. Give me one. How? There's still time to mitigate what's coming.
Bunker. I don't know.
Yeah.
Look, this is nonsense.
Yeah.
You don't get to add in like, oh, this is secretly actually about precipitating a global financial collapse. I know that that is part of his narratives that he's had for a while.
Sure.
But the vaccines and the killing off of the population is not to lead to a financial collapse.
No.
His conception is that the financial collapse is supposed to cause civil unrest, which
there you go.
Allows for a crackdown, which brings in martial law
right.
that leads to the extermination of the population.
Right.
That's it's, you can't have like A leading to B, but B
sure.
also leads to A.
All right, let me try and visualize this better for you. So
this is like a perpetual motion machine of conspiracy.
No, here's what I think. All right, so he's got apocalypses every morning lined up at the starting line, right? Like a horse race, and every morning whoever wins the horse race is the globalist's final plan. You know, like if it's like, oh, we got the financial apocalypse coming around the bend, the financial apocalypse, oh no, we've got the globalists poisoning everybody, oh my god, it is in first place, it's financial apocalypse, and that's the day, you know. And then the next morning it's a new race.
Yeah. Did you ever see that web series Brody Stevens Interview Challenge?
No.
It was a web series where Brody Stevens would interview a comedian, like Patton Oswalt was on one.
Yeah.
And there was a mysterious man who was pulling the strings who would give Brody Stevens challenges that he had to accomplish during the interview. And so, like, one
God,
of them...
Brody
like,
Stevens is so great.
With Patton Oswalt, one of them was that he couldn't let Patton eat bread. But he couldn't explain why.
So there's bread all around?
Yeah.
Of course there's bread all around. Yes.
Yeah, so it's like set up to make for weird circumstances.
Right.
I like to imagine that maybe Alex wakes up every morning and there is like the shadow man there.
he's like,
here's okay. what you have to sell
here's
as the
what
apocalypse
you have to try
today.
And do today. Yeah.
That was a long walk to make that metaphor make sense.
It worked.
But I like that show.
Hey,
quite a bit.
Any reference to Brody is a good one.
Sure.
Positive energy.
Enjoy it. Alex plays this Bill Maher clip, and that takes up a good part of the beginning of the show. But he has another clip that's very important that he also gets to here in this this opening stretch.
Let's finish up with the Brett Favre clip.
Info that the vaccine is safe, effective, and needed, and is a public health matter. I mean, would you urge your current players to be getting a vaccine? I mean, have you been vaccinated?
I'd rather not say one way or the other, but
no.
I think it's not my place to say get the vaccine or don't get the vaccine. I think that's a matter of choice by all individuals. And, you know, that's why we live in America.
Wait, you yourself, I mean, you don't want to say, which I respect, but you don't trust the vaccines?
Well, I think
let's just hit pause. Hey, lady, when's the last time you visited your gynecologist? Did he stick his fingers in you? I mean, that's a rude thing to say, isn't it? Because it's your medical records, lady, and he's got his medical records. You remember your body, your choice? Understand? Stay out of my body, you CNN witch.
That's really weird.
Yeah, I'm going to go with reject that.
Uh-huh.
Just no, blanket no.
Very weird.
Yeah.
So Alex is kind of cherry-picking stuff from the CNN interview with Brett Favre.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, Alex has conveniently cut out this little nugget from the interview.
And this is from experts on both sides of the argument. The vaccine or the vaccines that have been administered within the last what, 6 to 8 months. Didn't go through a 20 or 30 year human trial study that FDA requires. So we're sort of the human trials, if you will.
Alex probably doesn't want to play a clip like that because it makes Brett sound like what he is, an ex-football player who doesn't really know what he's talking about, trying to bluff his way through a fairly polite TV interview.
Yeah.
Also, it's probably important to note that Brett Favre wasn't on CNN to talk about his vaccine suspicions. That was just something that came up. He was on because he recently put out a PSA urging parents not to let their kids play tackle football because of concerns about CTE. In 2018, Favre told Megyn Kelly that he probably had thousands of concussions over the span of his career.
Yeah.
This leaves me in really iffy territory. On the one hand, I applaud Favre for speaking out and trying to protect the next generation from suffering head trauma and potential brain damage. But on the other hand, I think that if he's doing it while he's also spouting bullshit about COVID vaccines, I worry that he might not be the best concussion awareness ambassador. Big picture, I'm not really sure I care about what a former football player says about medical advice on a TV show that I don't watch. Apparently for Alex Jones, the most serious chronicler of the collapse of Western civilization, this is big news.
I can't stress this enough. If you are someone who has played professional football and has received the number of concussions that Brett Favre has, which is astronomical.
He said thousands.
When I watched football, he was playing, and yeah, I believe it. I believe that kind of number from him. He should talk about concussions.
Yeah.
He knows about concussions. Do you know what somebody who has had thousands of concussions doesn't know about? Vaccines. That's just how it goes. I'm fine with that.
And there's a certain amount of feeling on my part that, like, I don't know how much that was what he planned to talk about. So maybe that's just on a poorly structured interview.
No one should ask him what he thinks about that
it's
at all.
Very much not relevant.
Here's what you think about a post-route concussions. Mm-hmm. The end, Brett Favre.
Yeah.
And maybe sending dick pics.
But yeah. But for Alex, I just think this is kind of embarrassing. It feels like the headlines on Alex's show just kind of boil down to him cruising Twitter for a few clips of things that are kind of in pop culture, and then he just yells about them for a few hours. Like, imagine the opposite version of this. How seriously would you take an ostensibly left-wing truth teller who insisted that they had all the details about the nefarious plans of the right wing, who weirdly took most of their time on their show critiquing points made on, like, Greg Gutfeld's show, where people are trying to be funny, and celebrating something like, I don't know, Randall Cunningham or John Elway saying that vaccines are cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm about here, buddy.
If someone took their time, like, really thinking that these were important, like, these are headlines we need to really focus on, they look pretty fucking stupid.
Yeah, we're staring down the barrel of climate change extinction level events, but first I gotta shit talk these guys on the Morning Zoo crew where I'm from.
Hey, look,
10:90 a.m. up my butt.
The right wing's got some really nefarious things afoot, but in good news, Dan Marino likes to recycle.
What?
Oh, Dan Marino.
So, in this next clip, Alex teases that he has a guest coming up, a very exciting guest.
Political prisoner Owen Schroyer will be joining us coming up.
Is he
in the last 45 minutes of the fourth hour? He was only in jail for about 4 or 5 hours in the federal jail yesterday. And the judge put some restrictions on him not to talk to people involved in January 6th about the case.
That would be
you.
But
at the same time, he is a talk show host, and everything he did is on body cam. So what we did is on record.
Yeah, this is not good. This isn't a good idea.
I think what he should do. All right, now, and you're going to say no, but stick with me through the end, okay?
Yeah.
The first thing he does, he comes out and he places $1 million bounty on whoever.
Ooh, this has worked in the past. Yeah, I think that this is such a testament to how minor the situation with Owen is.
Yeah, that, fine. Yeah. Go back on TV.
Yeah.
No one cares.
Yeah, what a political prisoner.
Yeah.
What a Gestapo state we live in,
man.
Where he had to be processed for a couple of hours, and then he is free to go back to work on a propaganda show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was really strange when I read about it that, you know, it because we all know the story of Nelson Mandela, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we know that. What was so strange is that he only had to go to jail for like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, he was on Robben Island for a couple hours.
Yeah, he was just hanging out, and then he did his regular show like normal, like most political prisoners.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's fighting against the power, man.
Yeah, it's often forgotten. That's what the Mandela effect actually
refers to. You know, I mean, there's a Chevron lawsuit against a guy that's kept him fucking in under house arrest for 2 years because he fought against their destroying a population. But you know what? He's still allowed to go on his goddamn radio show. No, he's fucking not.
Yeah.
God damn it, I hate these. Ugh.
And I think one of the other things that really is important, and this is going to come up whenever Owen's on the show, is that, like, whatever the case is, he's being allowed to profit off his arrest.
Yeah.
So if you're Alex, you have to get like some bad news that your boy got popped. He's going to the clink. He's right. Going to be doing a hard bid.
Do you want to role play that with me? Okay. You tell me. I'm Alex. You tell me.
Oh, I wanted to be Alex.
Okay, fine. Hey.
All right.
Hey,
you can be Alex.
Hey, Alex. Hey, Alex. Just real quick. I just want to let you know I was arrested. No, stop. Stop in the nose.
We talked about this. It's in between the toes.
Yeah. Anyways, I was arrested for January 6th. I am going to do almost zero jail time.
Bring me Leanne McAdoo.
Is that Jabba the Alex Jones Hutt?
I could replace you in a minute.
Alex Jones the Hutt. I like it.
So you're Alex, you get this bad news that the War Room host is maybe going to be inconvenienced for a couple hours.
Hey, I'm not going to make it to your son's baseball game.
And then to make matters worse, you have to see the left.
Oh, no.
Celebrated on Twitter.
The left got very upset, very, very, very upset.
So upset.
To learn that Owen was not taken away to D.C. to be put in solitary confinement. There's literally, his name trended yesterday, so did mine, in the top 10 of Twitter, with people wishing for his death, people wishing for his execution. I don't even hate these weird people on Twitter. And on other platforms.
I wish
platforms.
For executions all the time. I get it.
Sorry for them because they are such authoritarians, but they're not even part of the power structure. They're just there like a mob wanting to exact revenge on those of us that have just simply tried to save the country.
It is very sad.
Wow. Could you get more projected than that?
It's pretty fun.
That's wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Again, it's just this is a remarkable thing of like, I saw a random tweet and it's now the doctrine position of the left.
I know.
Bizarre.
I know. But to stand next to the people on the 6th when that happened and then to turn and look at the left and say, they're just a mob.
Mm-hmm.
Wild. Mm-hmm. Wild shit.
Yeah.
Wild.
So if you know Alex Jones, you know that he likes two things. One, talking. Two, going off air.
Now, there are so many powerful John Bound reports that he's been doing lately, and I enjoy talking on the show. But at the same time, when we get really, really powerful reports and things in, I think it's really important to air those on the broadcast. And so we're going to play this report right now.
Yep. So I love to talk, and I also love to take a little break.
Take a little breaky. The only thing I love more than doing my show is not doing my show. We'll be
sure.
Right back.
Yep. So Alex gets to talking about some COVID news, and he has a big one, big piece.
All right.
And then here's one from Forbes. Oh, that got mixed in with my Joe Biden stack. I'd lost this. Oh, look, Pfizer shot just 39% effective against COVID now. Oh my gosh, 39%. But you heard it works so well.
First of all, I just love the way Alex sounds surprised by articles. Like he sees that headline, he's like, oh, look, it's like he found something.
Yeah,
it's kind of cute.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, for somebody who does so much research, it's always nice to be surprised by the research you've done.
Yeah, it's like you found something under a rock.
Yeah.
Isn't this exciting?
Yeah.
Second, this isn't a new article. This is a month-old piece that was going over some data from Israel, where some indications were showing that the Pfizer vaccine was about 39% effective at protecting people from COVID, including the Delta variant. But Alex is intentionally only telling half the story. The same Forbes article also covers how the same announcement included a finding that the vaccine offered 92% protection against hospitalization and 91% protection against severe illness. Alex is also intentionally ignoring the part of this article that discusses the other research that has found conflicting numbers on the general efficacy of the vaccine. So what's going on is just Alex's cherry-picking a detail from a month-old article and ignoring the rest of it that doesn't work for him and pretending that it's news.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's news today, or a month ago's news tomorrow yesterday.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
That's tough. It's tough because what you want the headline of the article to be is essentially, you know, like, hey, there's a 90-some-odd% chance that you won't get sick or die. So, you know what? Maybe the vaccine doesn't protect against the virus forever perfectly, but you know what? You're not going to get sick and die. So that's a pretty good win on that overall, right?
Mm.
And that's just too long for a headline.
It would be tough to get that into, like, MLA grammar.
I mean, that's like an 1860s headline is what that is, yeah.
So I long for Alex making specifics, talking about specifics, because they're are the things that you're able to really assess more than his Fauci should be hung or whatever.
Right.
The rambling nonsense kind of just drifts into the background.
I can't believe those bloodthirsty people on the left
would
just want violence to happen. Gross.
Unbelievable.
Disgusting.
So in this clip, it's 25 seconds long. Alex makes two specific claims.
Okay.
And I enjoy it.
You know, I used to joke and I said, there'll come a time when they claim it's a conspiracy theory that mothers ever breastfed because they're trying to phase that out because it makes people not as smart, not as healthy. You get all your natural vaccines is the colostrum. And now we're pretty much to that point. Most births are cesarean. Most people don't breastfeed. And you can see it. I mean, it's sad. People are dull. They're dumbed down. They just don't have a life force. They're asleep.
Alex made two statements
that
we can assess.
Here we go.
Most people give birth by C-section, and most people don't breastfeed.
There you go.
According to data from 2019, C-section rates in the United States are approximately 31%, which is a bit shy of most people. A lot of folks I can find commenting on this do say that the rate is too high, and it's very unlikely that all of these represent necessary C-sections.
Sure.
In many cases, C-sections are absolutely necessary, but apparently it's also an area where there could be intentional or unintentional complications at the medical point of service.
Mm.
For one thing, many hospitals have limited space for people in labor, and in the interest of making sure that they can cater to all their patients, it's possible that some doctors could do more C-sections than are strictly necessary in order to keep space open.
So maybe those stories where it's like, oh, I spent 28 hours in labor are also what they're leaving out is that's because the doctor didn't have anybody coming behind me, and if he needed the space, maybe I would have been in labor for 6 hours and gotten a C-section.
Maybe
is I'm just saying that's now in my brain where it wasn't before.
An article in The Atlantic points out how data seems to indicate that a lot of the prevalence in C-sections can be attributed to this type of behavior. Quote, if there's any doubt that the culture of individual hospitals can have an effect on a patient's choice of a C-section, one only need observe that hospital C-section rates vary from 7% to 70%. Differences in patient complexity cannot account for that spread.
Wow. Capitalism to the rescue again.
Well,
yeah.
There are other issues that are related to fixed payments that doctors get for performing C-sections as opposed to a vaginal delivery.
Give it to me.
Apparently, C-sections net around and as much as 15% more per surgery. So there are some confounding factors that are...
This is where we go back to this shit of like, man, if there weren't such a base level of corruption, it wouldn't be as easy to fuck around.
Some of this is understandably even possible as subconscious corruption.
Totally,
It doesn't even need to be like intentional scamming or anything.
Of course
there are things that people could just that
operational pressure of not being told ever once, like, hey, we need this bed, we need to get this out, you got to do the C-section, but just like a constant awareness of, hey, we're running low on hospital beds.
Yep.
Hey, there's all this stuff going on.
Yeah.
Hey, the budget's tight. Hey, all of this stuff is in the back of a doctor's mind, and that happens.
Yeah.
That's humanity.
And the way that the Atlantic article put it, I think, is good, is the culture of individual hospitals. Like, I think that some places may have more of that pressure that is that affects treatment.
Hey, when the bottom line is profit, treatment's going to suffer.
Yeah. There are a lot of interesting issues to unpack as it relates to the issue of C-sections, but Alex is completely wrong about the numbers, and he's also wrong about the idea that C-sections somehow hurt the child. As for breastfeeding, Did you know that the CDC releases an annual breastfeeding report card for the United States?
I did not know that a thing like that existed or why.
You do know now.
I do now.
You can find the 2020 report card, and if you do, you'll find that 84.1% of Americans who gave birth in 2017 breastfed, with over 25% exclusively breastfeeding for the first 6 months.
Well, that's still an F.
The call to action on this report card includes both, quote, celebrate state achievements in breastfeeding and breastfeeding supportive maternity care practices, and, quote, bring together partners to promote and support breastfeeding. It's so weird that the CDC would be saying that, since they're an evil globalist behemoth and they want to kill everyone. So weird, almost like everything Alex says doesn't mean anything.
If they didn't say it, and if what they did say actually confirms the opposite, it's almost like I shouldn't trust what Alex is saying.
Hmm. Also, just for fun, the top seven states in terms of their score on the MPINC scale, the Maternity Practices in Infant Nutrition and Care, they're all blue states.
Stop.
California, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Delaware, New York, Connecticut, and fucking Rhode Island knocking it out of the park with a score of 95. Taking home the gold.
I swear, if Alex knew this, like he actually knew it, he would have a complete different angle of like, how dare these blue states come and tell me how to raise my kids by breastfeeding them?
I believe in capitalism, and I support the formula industry.
I want more formula. I want more C-sections because the bottom line is suffering.
Mike Lindell has a My Formula he's putting out. It's good stuff.
Yeah, if he could compete with breast milk, he would.
Anyway, the point is, nothing Alex says means anything. He's just basically making all this stuff up as he goes along because it feels right to him.
Complete
feels
bullshit.
Good for him to be saying that the globalists and the man and the government, they want to break down the relationship that humans have with each other.
Yeah.
They don't want you to breastfeed. They want to make you dumb. All that's just based on nothing. So this clip I thought was pretty funny.
And I think more and more, instead of just covering all the news and all the information, we should talk about the spirituality and God and how to get out of the trance and ways to break the conditioning and just whether you're old or young or black or white or male or female or where you live. The real thing is it's a growing process, and I'm not perfect either. And it's fun to bash liberals, and it's fun to get mad at them, and it's fun to talk about how stupid they are, but that's a reflection on us that we've let that happen. So I really
deep.
I love all these people, other than conscious demons like Fauci and Bill Gates and people at the very top. But most of these people are scared. They're just trying to belong to something.
What about
they're
us?
Trying to go.
Then why are you trying to kill everybody?
And they're finding out they're losing all their medical autonomy, all their future, all their freedom, and they know deep down that it's a fraud. So they're scared. And we've got to reach out to them in a loving, nice way, and you know, try to get people on our side that way. Because I've had the big brash approach, and that's been successful with a lot of people. And I think I should still have it sometimes, but God's really laid it on my heart that we need to just get back to really loving people and really valuing humanity and really caring about everybody and realizing that love is the answer.
Love is the answer. Quote Alex Jones.
I swear to God. I swear to God, I'm throwing baseballs at everybody.
It's fun, man.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane. You know what? And here's the other thing that just occurred to me. So the people who the people who follow this far right stuff, mm-hmm. the women specifically, like, do they realize how close these people would see C-section to abortion, like, very quickly? Mm-hmm. Like, if they got rid of abortion, if you banned abortion, they're going to have to pick something else that's unnatural and unholy. And it's gonna eventually get to women, and there you go.
Yeah, probably.
You know, it's not hard to put that together and be like, no, a natural birth is what it should be, mm-hmm. and you should always try and save the child's life and not the mother's life. Mm-hmm. It takes zero time to get there.
Yeah, love's the answer, though.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. Also, I just got to say that if Alex thinks that the new direction for his show should be not covering the news and talking about rambly pseudo-spiritual bullshit,
I think it's a great idea.
Job is done. The show is already that. You don't need to change a thing.
No, what he's saying is he wants to lower the facade.
I guess.
That it's not. Well, just want to be truthful.
I welcome that because the pretense is annoying at this
point. It's very annoying.
So Alex doesn't like remdesivir.
Now.
Right, because he did before.
Right.
But he still likes hydroxychloroquine. He still kind of likes ivermectin.
Sure.
And then he has another one he likes now.
Sure.
Look, this remdesivir that we've been seeing getting pushed by Fauci and people has less than 8% efficacy, and it cost a bunch of money. They made money off that, didn't help people. But notice what they're not been promoting, Regeneron. Regeneron creates a bunch of clone white blood cells for mice, trains them to only kill COVID, puts them in you. They're all screened, so it's not like from prisoners or something, their blood. And it goes in with basically no side effects, cleans everything out. Now, there might be stuff we don't know about long term. No short term stuff, really. Because it doesn't change your body. It sends something in that goes through and cleans it out, and then you urinate it and defecate it out. You pass it through your body. Your gallbladder.
You just piss out the cloned rat cells.
Okay.
Doesn't that sound like something Alex would be against?
It's 100% something he's against! It's cloned rat cells!
It sounds identical to things that he yells about being
fucking
devilry.
Christ. Yeah. Fucking Christ. I would never put this shit in that the FDA has to prove. You can't trust a vaccine. Now, these rat stem cells, you just piss them out.
You just piss them out.
You just piss them out.
So it's really funny that Alex is promoting the use of Regeneron. See, one of the big complaints about the COVID vaccine for these people is that it wasn't FDA approved, although that's no longer true for Pfizer. But then Alex is willing to jump on board with something like this, which is also not FDA approved.
Well, I mean, none of his shit is FDA approved because it doesn't have to be.
Right. But that's not the case with this. This does have an emergency use authorization.
Ah.
And it does seem like, for what it's worth, there are some indications that getting 4 injections of this cocktail of antibodies can be effective in helping reduce a person's risk of hospitalization.
Hey, I don't want to get a vaccine. They're going to stab me with something that I don't understand once or twice. But this... 4 times! If you stab me 4 times, you know it's good.
Yeah, there are some indications that it could be effective, but it is not a good pandemic control strategy. It's only useful for people who already have COVID, and it's effective only early on in a case, so that could be a tough window to hit for most people. That being said, if you go to their own website, to the Regeneron website, you can see that it does have some side effects that Alex maybe should be concerned about. Quote, serious adverse events were reported in 1.6% of patients in the 2,400 milligram group. These included, quote, pneumonia, hyperglycemia, nausea, and vomiting. Now, it's important to point out that this can't be used to conclude that the Regeneron treatment that actually caused those side effects. But if I were Alex, that's how I would report
this. That's what you would say.
Yeah. So there are short-term side effects that were associated with people who are in the trials.
Sure.
But anyway, the only reason that people like Alex are promoting this now is because Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has opened some Regeneron sites attempting to put a Band-Aid on the COVID problem in his state. Of course, this is really dicey because Regeneron is part-owned by the hedge fund Citadel, and their CEO, Kenneth Griffin, has donated over $10 million to DeSantis' campaigns in 2018 and 2022. While the drug cocktail itself may be promising, this whole thing has a very strong smell of corruption to it.
Wow.
It's a little bit worrying.
That is fucking Banana Republic shit right there. That's straight up like... Is anybody watching?
Well, it's. I think that the argument that I saw that DeSantis had was that there were two possible antibody related treatments.
Right.
One was that Eli Lilly. One was this Regeneron, and the Regeneron showed more efficacy in relation to the Delta variant, and that's why he chose to go with it. Now that may be 100% true.
Sure.
It very well could be, and medicine itself could. Have as much promise as it appears to.
Right.
That said,
The
circumstances surrounding this still make it really fucking dicey.
Well, and there's the fact that he's still profiting off of the deaths of people in his state.
Yeah. Also, as you pointed out, Alex definitely was promoting remdesivir back when it was a thing that Trump and the right-wing chorus were all excited about.
Oh, they fucking loved it. It was great. It was way better than doing any of that other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Blah. So anyway, get ready for him to promote Regeneron for a little while.
And then hate it whenever it doesn't go well.
And then probably we'll see a lot of those Rogan types also probably promoting it pretty hard.
Yeah. I wonder, man, I can't believe they do this shit for free. You know, he's not going to advertise MyPillow for free. What are you doing advertising Regeneron? You should get a cut.
He has a promo code.
You should get a promo code for Regeneron.
Go to Regeneron/Alex.
Look, if you're not fucking serious about making money, get out of here.
You got to hustle. So one thing that Alex loves is talking. Another thing he loves is going off air.
Got to go off
air. Another thing he loves is tech.
Ooh,
he's like a fucking Jetson.
He's a genius.
I'm Mr. George Jetson, baby. I love technology. If it's vetted... If it doesn't have liability protection, and if it's transparent,
I like glass. The end.
And I'm glad that the governor of Texas has authorized for people that need it free Regeneron. And the company's passed it on with for no profit and is doing that.
This is a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the company owned by Ken fucking Griffin is a nonprofit.
Well, no, Ken Griffin owned Citadel. Yeah. He was the CEO of Citadel, yeah, who has a millions-dollar investment,
yeah,
in Regeneron.
Yeah.
But also that cocktail that Regeneron has is not any more vetted than any COVID vaccine that Alex hates. So that point is moot. Mm. Secondly, the whole issue of liability protection is not to protect the companies necessarily. It's to protect consumers. The entire system of paying people who could have been hurt by vaccines is set up to make it easier for people to get settlements, since they would almost never be able to reach the burden of proof required in an actual courtroom. The companies that produce vaccines are also protected because if they weren't, no one would ever take on the risk of developing treatments that can save millions of lives. It's a collective good, so the state takes on that burden. It's
yeah.
Makes total sense.
Yeah.
The words liability protection feel like a slam dunk when Alex says them, but they're really not. Thirdly, Alex says that things have to be transparent. And what's the definition of transparent to him? It seems like there's a giant conflict of interest involved in Florida's operating this large-scale Regeneron campaign, and that doesn't scream transparency to me.
No.
I don't know what this means. Like, nah. When you said glass, it's like, yes. Do you mean physically transparent?
I think he means physically transparent. Yes.
I don't like opaque things.
He does. I mean, he would like his phone, but he can't see through it because it's not both sides glass, you see?
Yeah, and yeah. Also, just because at the point of treatment, they aren't charging consumers for Regeneron shots, that doesn't mean the company isn't making a profit. For one thing, in late 2020, they received a $450 million contract from the federal government to produce this treatment, and in January 2021, the federal government bought all the company's supply for a price estimated at $2.6 billion.
Man, sometimes you just see this corruption and you're really like, man, we're just not doing shit, are we? We're just not going to do it. I mean, it's just not going to get done. It's so, just we're just going to live like this.
But also, if you're keeping score, these governors like DeSantis,
yeah,
you know, they aren't even paying for this shit. It's
nope.
The federal government,
yep,
who Alex hates so much and is full of demons, that is paying for this to be able to have,
yeah,
people get at the point
of
treatment.
That's why these governors are smart, because if you're smart, you're not going to pay for it. You're going to make the government pay for it. That's why you're smart if you don't pay taxes and keep all that money for yourself. It makes perfect sense.
Makes total sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That way no one else gets helped.
This is all just such bullshit. Alex being like, I'm George fucking Jetson, baby. I love technology. If it's these three things that mean nothing.
Figure out how to take a fucking call before you tell me you're George Jetson.
Instead of accurately discussing a story that he decided to cover on his show, he doesn't prepare at all, and he just chooses to make up details instead. Like that Regeneron is supplying their injections at cost out of the goodness of their hearts.
Insane thing
it's
to say.
It's just, it might as well just be riffing. It's,
yeah,
improv.
Yeah, if you're a conspiracy theorist that listens to Alex Jones, even Alex saying that a corporation would do something for no profit would have to make you raise your ears up a little bit. Like,
it's a little silly.
Really? You're going to go with these billionaires are not trying to make money off of this, mm-hmm, and yet I'm supposed to believe that every billionaire is in a secret cult designed to make money off of my death? Okay.
So there's a theme that develops kind of over the show, and that is this, like, they're trying to take away these human elements of our lives, like the breastfeeding,
sure,
and the,
sure,
vaginal births.
Sure.
They're trying,
sure,
to turn us into pod people.
Oh, no.
And here's the deal, guys. They're taking control of the normal human biological system and saying you don't have an immune system. Mothers can't give milk to babies. Women can't give birth vaginally. Your natural immunity doesn't work. We've got to put you in a bubble and control your life. Just stay in your bubble. Don't look at the sunset. Don't talk to your neighbors. I mean, this is really happening. This is the pod people. They're trying to make us the pod people. Wake up! Break. You say you want to fight tyranny. You say you want to fund the Second American Revolution.
Got cut off. Got cut off by the break there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was passionless.
Yeah, that was not heartfelt.
That felt like his emotions
wake
were
up.
Yeah, he felt like a pod person.
Yeah, he felt like he was replaced by someone.
Yeah. So he comes back from break and he wants to explain why everything is going all topsy-turvy.
Sure.
Now, the world is in this state of chaos.
Right, right, right.
And I gotta say, he seems like he knows what he's talking about.
Do you think so?
And so a lot of this is because the top Rothschilds have died. The top Rockefellers have died. And I know a lot of people that know the top people. And, I mean, they are just involved in torturing and murdering people and devil worshiping and eating vats of feces and chopping their genitals off and torturing themselves. Folks, I'm not joking around, okay? This is not a joke. I'm not just saying this for shock value. I think people have learned that by now.
He's not joking around. I don't know why you're laughing. Sounds very serious.
Bunch of people eating feces out of vats. Listen, this is deadly serious, okay? Mm-hmm.
Very, very much so.
It's deadly serious.
So for one thing, if these globalists are eating large amounts of poop, you would expect for a lot of them to constantly be in a state of having food poisoning.
You would think.
Norovirus, rotavirus, and hepatitis A can all be transmitted through oral fecal means, and that's not even taking into account the tons of bacteria and parasites you risk exposing yourself to. So they better make sure they got clean shit in those vats.
Well, I mean, and if you're cleaning your shit, what's the point?
Exactly.
You know,
it
what's
ruins
the point
the
of
fun.
Yeah, you're there to eat shit. You're not there to eat just this.
Processed shit. Might as well have a hamburger.
I want fresh, organic, farm-to-table shit.
You know, one of the big reasons that there are signs in every restaurant bathroom about how employees have to wash their hands before returning to work is because oral fecal contamination can lead to outbreaks of E. coli or Shigella. Like, I'm no doctor, but you got to assume your risk would be much higher if you're eating poo by the vat.
Yeah, you know, it's super weird how you can identify all of our oligarchs by how they die of poisoning every fucking day.
Alex doesn't say these things for shock value, but I kind of have a suspicion that he's teasing his audience. Like, I can get you to believe this shit.
Anything. Yeah, anything. Let's see how far I can go. What else do you want?
He's like showboating.
Look at
me. He's a showboating propagandist.
There's no ground underneath me. I'm floating. What else do you dum-dums believe?
Yeah.
Also, I'm going to do some dribbling between my legs. How about that? You impressed by that? I don't care.
So now that Alex has sold you on the vats of poop, he also wants you to know that the globalists don't want you to look at sunsets anymore.
Of course not.
You know, my mother, I told this story 20 years ago. I told it again just last year. My mother said, you look at the sunset and you look at the water and the waves and the beach and you know it's beautiful and you know it's good and you commune with it and you spiritually connect through God's creation to God. And that is a form of worship electromagnetically and spiritually to God. And God made us to experience this with him. And what do they come out and say in Canada, in Australia, New Zealand? Do not look at the sunset. Well, statistically, if you look in the morning and at night when it's low on the horizon, so it's not bad for your eyes, it's been known to massively boost your IQ long term, to cure depression, you name it. Sun gazing. The media makes you don't look at it once it's up high at all, but come out right when it's on the horizon through the filter of the dust.
What are we doing?
That light just does something in your brain. And it's all these things God gave us they're trying to take away because these are Satanists. Do you think these Satanists go at dawn and dusk and stare at the sun? No, they don't.
That sounds like a Satanist thing to do.
Nah, man, they don't look at sunsets.
That sounds like a Satanist ritual.
Nah.
We show up at dawn and dusk.
Nah.
Yeah, the transition between light and dark.
They don't do it.
It's a fucking metaphor.
Nah. Nope. They don't do it. And they don't want you to do it either.
That's the most insane. What are we doing? What are we talking about? What's happening?
Don't go outside.
What's
during,
happening?
Don't go outside during dusk or dawn. Don't you dare look at the sun during a transitional phase when it's...
Did you know that the liberals are trying to take away your sunsets?
Oh, my God.
Sure. Fine.
Yeah.
Sure we are. All right. You have a good day. Get on out of here.
I don't know what he's even talking about, but I have to assume it's something like don't stare at the sun.
Don't stare at the sun. Yeah. It's turned into a fucking culture war.
Yeah.
Great. Fine. Hey, if you stare at the sun for a half hour, you're going to blow your eyes out.
Yeah.
How dare the government tell me what to stare at?
See, now this is the demons trying to get me to not look at sunsets because that's how I connect with God.
Alex, look at the sunset directly into the sun for as long as you possibly can.
Oh, man, if people enjoy sunsets and sunrises, more power to them.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
I don't have another qualifier.
Nothing else to say?
So I found this really fun because this, again, is another thing that's sort of in that same chain of like trying to take away these human things like the breastfeeding and, and vaginal sunsets. They're trying to turn us into pod people by not letting us see the sunset.
Can't see the sunset.
So Alex decides we got to take action.
What are they going to do about the northern lights? Are they are the Aurora Borealis still okay? No. How long? How long do we have before I can't see the Aurora Borealis?
Don't look at the Aurora Borealis.
No, I got to go now.
No. That's the work of the elder gods.
Oh, okay.
Don't do that.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah. Alex says he needs, you know, we need to take action. Okay. We need to take collective action about sunsets.
You know, I want to do a human ritual with our listeners. I just thought of this during the break. I'll talk about it at the end of the show today.
A human ritual?
But I want everybody to pledge tonight and tomorrow night and the next night, because depending on where you are, the sun may not be clear in the sky, to only for like 5 minutes right as it's setting, you know, the safe time to do it, to join me in gazing at God's incredible creation that gives us life and a celebration of life, and to thank God. And the media will spin it and say it's an occult ritual because that's the opposite. They're telling us don't go look at the sunset, don't look at the sunrise. And I would like to pledge to the listeners that at sundown central, but it doesn't matter where you are in the world, at your sundown, that you go out for 5 minutes and just pray to God for a global awakening and pray to God for healing and pray to God to send light and love and good energy into the world to give people courage to stand up and do the right thing.
This show is fucking weird.
I think what we need to do as a society is get rid of all of our arguments, all of our TV shows, all of our government.
Okay.
And all as a country focus on creating a Truman Show situation for Alex Jones where we all just do this weird shit. Mm-hmm. All of us knowing that he's insane and we're just humoring him.
Yeah.
Because I do want him to walk outside some night and just see the entirety of America staring up at the sunlight with him. That'd be beautiful.
I was going the other way with this. Uh-huh. I was thinking that the Truman Show we would put him in is all of us actually tell him not to look at the sunset.
No. I want to go the other direction.
We live out his negative fantasies as opposed to his positive ones.
No. I want to live in a world where what Alex says makes sense, and he has to suddenly. It's like him hitting a wall at 60 miles an hour. Whenever all of a sudden everybody believes everything he says is true, what will happen?
See, that is interesting because he would have to start complaining about something else, and it would be fascinating to find out how his survival instinct kicks in.
Hey buddy, we're all looking at the sunset now. What do you got? What do you got now? We're all here.
Let's all say that we love the 10th amendment.
Love it. It's we're all best. Saying yes, we love it. We love the 10th amendment. Every what else
state,
you got?
Every state passed resolutions.
When do you run out of bullshit?
Yeah. We're not taking your guns.
Fuck!
You secretly are trying to take my guns.
Yeah.
You
nope.
actually want to hog all the sunset nope. from me.
Yeah, that's what it would now. The globalists are trying to hog the sunset.
Yeah. There's only so much sunset.
So
Alex, he's mad that everybody wants to take his sunset and his breastfeeding away. You know, he famously, very poetically said, Mama Titty.
Yes. Indeed.
At a Target.
Indeed. He's on point.
Yeah. Whole life. Yeah, proponent. Yeah. A breastfeeding.
Big breastfeeding guy.
So he gets a little bit mad about this taking away of his humanity.
Sure.
You're trying to take our lives over. You're trying to take our bodies over. You're trying to violate the Nuremberg Code. Trying to put something deadly in us. I mean, what do you want us to do? When you're pepper spraying people's children and stuff, you think the good guys that don't want power and don't want violence, you think when you beat our kids up and our wives up and our fathers and brothers up, you think it makes us go away? No, it makes us think about what we're going to do to you, and we will do something. Don't you worry about it. Oh, and you're like, good, we'll call you terrorist. Oh, really? You'll just get the whole party going, won't you? You can't even hold Afghanistan. You can't run your blue cities full of feces and fentanyl. All you can do is murder us all day and sit around and slap yourselves on the back. But I see the videos of Nancy Pelosi's parties and Barack Obama's parties. It looks like a bunch of trash and a bunch of unhappy garbage that all know they're losers.
Wait till you see Trump's parties.
I didn't want to go anyway. Also, in terms of the blue cities being full of feces and fentanyl, like the feces are, that's lunch.
Yeah. You know, like, that's what we eat. Yeah. That's what we love here.
Yeah.
it's like those regions in the Appalachians where they all eat raw meat all the time. Sure. And they're like, oh, this is a delicacy here. And you're like, you people got to stop. Mm. You got to stop.
I like the idea, too, that Alex is, you know, is kind of like, yeah, we are going to do something to you. Don't worry about it. Like, if people are worried that he's not going to
be
violent.
Oh, no, I was worried.
Yeah.
I was worried.
Pretty convinced that you're trying to get someone to be violent.
No.
Anyway, the Democrats, everybody on the left, it's all just Satanism now.
I mean, the whole thing is the Democratic Party are now Satanists. And you go out to their events, undercover, they talk about how much they love Satan and all of it. And they're really... just a bunch of really soft, weird nerds that know Satan rules the planet, and they just want some petty power. And then they also make jokes about, oh, it doesn't exist. There's not really Satanism. But then that's how they suck everybody into it to control them. Yeah, Owen goes out to the abortion rallies, and they literally, the majority of them are, I want to kill babies. I love Satan. And they're just demonic. The women act like rabid dogs or something. And this is what they've been turned into. They don't love men. They don't love women. They love nobody. They just run around and Satan, Satan, kill, kill. We're going to come back with our special guest. This video went super, super ultra viral. And by the way, that video is up on Band.video. I hope that you share the video by Dr. Sean M. Brooks, PhD, over 1,100,000 views right now. But he'll be joining us to really have the floor coming up separately. Please do not forget, it's back in stock for a limited time, Vitamin Mineral Fusion.
So these devils, they want to kill, kill, kill. I have Tang for sale.
Yep, yep. These Satanists, they'll...
Also, I'm going to interview a guy who had a viral video.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, quite boy. Jarring.
Oh, boy.
So we got this doctor guest.
Yes.
And Alex has been presenting him as somebody who's a doctor. That's what he says.
I mean, he did name him doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. You would not be wrong to assume that maybe this is a medical doctor.
Well,
because
I'm assuming that, and yeah. Now you're concerning me mm-hmm. in my assumption.
Well, you would have assumed that because it's about like medical issues.
That's and why you would have a doctor.
Video where the guy is talking to his school board.
Dr. Blank, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You'd kind of think that. And I think Alex probably thought that.
Yeah.
He's wrong.
Oh, no.
And maybe he learned that.
Uh-oh.
But our guest, when we producer got him on the phone yesterday, wanted to talk to me. And he said, listen, I want to clear something up. I went to that high school, and I was there. And I'm a well-known PhD in education. And when you're there, you say what town you live in. It's Oxford. I'm not a doctor from Oxford. The internet had been saying that, so that's cleared up. But you still want me on? And I said, yeah, now that I know who you are, I've seen your writings before, and I've heard about some of your books. I really want you on the show because you're an articulate person. And it doesn't matter if you're a PhD in education or a medical doctor or a school teacher or, as I said, some guy that, you know, trims people's bushes for a living. We're all humans and can observe what's going on and speak out.
Yeah, man. Sure. Not only was I aware that you are a PhD in education who lives in Oxford for didn't go to Oxford, not only did I know that, I was fully aware of your writings and I love your work. Bullshit.
Instant crash course in that this PhD had of like, oh, I realize now that they're going to think I'm a doctor from Oxford.
Yeah.
That's not going
to
be
I
good.
Don't want to misrepresent myself. I would like to give you an opportunity to bail on this interview. That's what
Please.
He was saying to the producer.
Please, sir, you yes. need to know this.
Yeah.
I know why this is happening. I didn't intend for it.
I'm not going to play along with that if that's the pretense.
I'm a doctor of education from the city of Oxford. Mm-hmm. It's not the same thing.
Now, this guy in his video that went mega uber viral.
Mega uber super viral.
He does sound a little bit unhinged.
The jabs create spike proteins. They're in the jabs themselves, and they create it by snapping your RNA in half. You are no longer a human anymore. You are something else, and you are susceptible to countless diseases. Now, here's what's going to happen in the future very quickly.
You have 15 seconds.
Great. I don't know what percentage of your staff has taken the jabs, but your school is going to close. You will not stay open. You will close because they will fall ill and they will die. That will happen in all of your buildings. It will have. It's already happening.
All right, thank you, sir.
Yeah. I bet it is. Thanks. It's already happening. Sure. Good luck. Nothing can stop what's
coming.
All All right, so we need to be alarmist about this because this is the big globalist move, and everything he says you can document.
This is a really tough way for me to find out that I and you,
yeah,
and almost everybody I know are no longer humans.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think a real quick question to that would just be like, what is a human, you stupid piece of shit? Give me a definition that if my quote-unquote RNA gets broken in half, now I'm not a human. Tell me why. Just give me a real explanation why a full, unbroken in half RNA counts.
You are a human if and only if your RNA,
your
is,
RNA
unbroken
is unbroken. Yeah. No. I like it. It's like a hymen.
I guess by virtue of that, too, like, you don't have rights.
Yeah, no,
anymore,
of course not.
So that's
no longer a human because you got the jab, so we don't have to treat you.
Or I guess the flip side of the argument is that everything have human rights. I guess this is going to be a dangerous road for this doctor of education to go down. Probably doesn't want to have that conversation, and that's fine because I don't either.
Hey, have you ever considered that if the definition of humanity is more a social thing that we've all agreed upon, that if more people have broken RNA than have non-broken RNA, all of a sudden we're the humans and you're the not human? How do you feel about that? Do you see how your logic might make you a fucking moron? Have you considered that for 1 second, sir?
I don't know if he has.
I doubt it.
So he's going to be coming in here in a minute, but before he gets to that, Alex has some breaking news.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Alex Jones. Massive news has broken since we got our guest on. Let me mention some of it. We'll get his take on it and get back to the huge information he was just laying out.
Burp.
Adan Salazar has the article. It's on Infowars.com. It links right to the Israeli government's own announcement. Remember, Israel and Australia are the cutting edge of what's coming here next. Israel to grant green passports to fly and travel and go in restaurants. Israel to grant green passports only to triple vaccinated. That's how it works. Oh, maybe the vaccine isn't working. Oh, you got to take a third one recommended. Oh, now you've got to take it. And then a fourth and a fifth and a sixth and a tenth and a 20th. Unbelievable.
The green passports in Israel were rolled out in February. Yeah, so it's been a little while.
How'd they do?
It's just a convenient way for businesses to check a person's vaccination status if they want to require vaccination to enter their premises.
Yeah.
Israeli Health Minister Yuli Edelstein was quoted back in February in the Jerusalem Post. Quote, "Whoever chooses not to be vaccinated has his right. There will also be no personal sanctions against someone who is not vaccinated. It should be understood that getting vaccinated is a great privilege that has been given to us, something that many countries in the world have not attained." The article continues, quote, "The minister added that there will be some areas that will be open to everyone, even for citizens who have not been vaccinated, and that the possibility of these areas will be expanded depending on the rate of immunization of the entire population."
Mm-hmm.
So now, currently, the conversation is for these things that are already out, they will apply to people who have booster shots.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the reality of the story is not quite what Alex is.
No, I heard actually, and I know Alex hasn't heard this yet. This is new that I'm breaking for him.
Oh.
Illinois has started requiring white passports that you have to use and you have to obtain in order to move in a car from one place to another. Can you believe that? You have to get a
driver's license.
You can only go certain places with these cards. I mean, it's bananas how this works.
And you can only drive certain things.
Sometimes they won't even let you drive as fast as you want to drive, Dan.
This is
it's
truly
out of control.
Martial law.
It is the nanny state gone mad.
Yeah. So I think I may have even misspoke a little bit. The good doctor is on the line.
Oh.
While Alex is getting into this news.
Uh-huh.
And Alex has other news that he has to get into before we really dive in with Brooks.
Sure. Naturally.
And that is we got to get into dumbass gate. We do. Did Alex call Trump a dumbass?
Yes.
Well, that's what everybody's saying.
Well.
Did I call President Trump a dumbass? No, I said, I think Trump's really smart. Why is he saying that the vaccines work? Why is he saying he took it and it's great? If it doesn't work, he'll tell us. When I just showed you, and it's been out for days, that Pfizer says it's a 39% efficacy rate. And now the head of Pfizer says, oh, new variants are here and his vaccine doesn't work. But don't worry, he's got new ones. And Trump had just said days before he said that in Alabama on Friday. Trump had said it looks like a scam by Pfizer with these boosters. So I said, you're smart, Trump. I don't think you're dumb, but maybe you are. Yeah, I stand by that.
Okay, so if I'm hearing Alex correctly, he's saying that he didn't call Trump a dumbass.
Right.
Apparently, what Alex meant by his comments was that he doesn't think that Trump is a dumbass.
Right.
And that he must know what he's doing,
sure.
Which is recommending people get a vaccine that he presumably knows is a scam.
Right.
So I guess Alex didn't call Trump a dumbass as much as he called him an evil fraud who's trying to kill his followers.
Correct.
That seems better.
That is what you would rather somebody hear you say other than calling someone a dumbass. That's an insulting thing to say. What you should call them is a mouthpiece for the enemy that you have been fighting against your entire career.
And, like, a complete sellout and a shill and a traitor. A
giant piece of shit. Yeah, a monster who's actively killing the people who put him in power.
So here's the clip that's been going around, and I'll let you judge for yourself what Alex was meaning to say.
Okay.
And this I've decided to call Shadow Dumbass Gate.
Okay.
Got a bunch of medical doctors I want to play for you on this when we come back. But first, let's take President Trump, who I believe is a good person, and who I really care about, and who I want to see get a lot of good Republicans elected in the midterms, and who I would love to see run again. We got to take him to the woodshed, though, because he came out last week on Fox and Friends and said, I really am suspicious of this booster shot. If this supposedly works so well, why do I need a booster shot? Because you got lied to, Trump. It didn't have 98% efficacy. We knew day one it wouldn't work, period. It's a fraud. It'll create mutants. You got chumped. You got signed on to a fraud to restart the economy. I understand why you did it. You believe in science. Except these are bad actors, sir. You believed America could produce a good vaccine. Of course they could have. They didn't want to. They didn't create a vaccine.
Real quick, I just have to break here because if Alex knew anything about delivery and meter, he would have repeated, sir.
Yep.
It was begging to be put there. They told you this, sir.
Sir!
They lied to you, sir.
Yep.
You know, like that. Yep. That's right there.
That's how you do it.
Yep.
They created a Frankenshot.
Sir.
And now they've got you signed up to it.
Sir.
Now the left's saying you better get out there and push it. And you are. CNN comes out and says, we need to see Trump come out. Trump will take the shots. And within weeks of them saying it over and over again, CNN snaps their fingers. Jeff Zucker snaps his fingers and Trump clicks his heels and hops up there at attention and says, how high do you want me to jump, boss? There's Trump in Alabama yesterday.
I believe totally in your freedoms. I do. Bree, you got to do what you have to do. But I recommend take the vaccines. I did it. It's good. Take the vaccines. But you got, no, that's okay. That's all right. You got your freedoms. But I happen to take the vaccine. If it doesn't work, you'll be the first to know, okay? I'll call up Alabama and say, hey, you know what? But it is working.
BS. Trump, that's a lie. You're not stupid. Just 2 weeks ago, they said it was 65%, then 40%. Saw a number put up about Pfizer shots, 30-something percent. Because they just want to tell you it doesn't work, so you run out of the new damn shot. And then they'll tell you in 6 months that one doesn't work. It's called rope-a-dope. Shame on you, Trump. Seriously. Hey, if you don't have the good sense to save yourself and your political career, that's okay. At least you're going to get some good Republicans elected. And, you know, we like you. But, my God, maybe you're not that bright. Maybe Trump's actually a dumbass. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
If I were in charge of deciding how to cover this story, I would lean much more heavily into how Alex is very clearly saying that Trump knows that the vaccines are a secret plot to kill everyone for profit and that he's recommending them to his audience anyway.
No, what's offensive is that he called him a dumbass, Dan.
Right. The headline here isn't that Alex speculated that Trump is a dumbass. It's that he's indicating that the alternative is that Trump is evil.
Yeah.
The Alex Trump will they, won't they storyline since the election really isn't doing anything for me. And when you get down to it, really, it doesn't really matter to Alex either.
Nope.
He doesn't like Trump, and that's not a problem, because he probably never did. Trump was a useful tool for people like Alex. He's an impressionable, malleable, chaotic idiot who they could use to take over some of the levers of power in this country. If I was in the press and I decided to even touch this clip, my angle would be on it would be that Alex, you know, it's not that Alex is turning on Trump and insulting him. It would be to play up this idea that Alex is saying that Trump is either stupid or evil.
And not or good.
Yeah.
There's only two options.
Covering this story as Alex called Trump a dumbass misses the point a little bit and just makes me think that the reporting doesn't have much awareness of how often Alex says mean things about Trump when he's mad at him.
Yeah.
Like it's not novel, but I think there's maybe some ground you could gain by really positioning this where, like, okay, the base is really cracking.
Right.
You know, you have a foundational issue that the leader of the cult is unwilling to go along with, which is telling everyone not to get vaccinated.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And I think that you could probably exploit that wedge pretty hard.
No, it's a perfect, like, it's such a great teachable example of something that happens in human history all the time, which is that the leader of the group is the leader, and they will go along with whatever the leader says as long as they tell them what they want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, you'll add, and if you tell them what they want to hear, guess what you can add? Whatever the fuck you want. Of course, yeah, yeah. You tell them what they want to hear, and then you can destroy their lives
Whatever you want, as long as it doesn't violate one of the other things that they need to hear.
Right. And then in this situation, you would think that Trump would look at that and go, oh, I was just able to exploit them. I was not actually leading the group. And the people in the group would go, oh, we'll do anything if anybody tells us what we want to hear. And everybody should learn from that and be like, maybe we're both stupid on both sides here. And this is a negative feedback loop that has repeated itself throughout history every time we've wanted to blow shit up.
Well, I think the negative, craven, manipulative jerks may learn something from this. And that is that, all right, you can control this cult of personality.
Yeah,
pretty.
There's a limit.
Pretty. Well, no, there isn't. You're willing to.
Yeah. Yeah.
To really knuckle up and just say whatever they want.
That's true. Yeah.
So maybe the next person will just be like, no, fuck vaccines.
Fuck it. Yeah. Don't care. Don't give a shit.
Because that would retain the control over whatever amount of influence you have.
Yeah, there's two lessons, I guess. There's the good lesson, don't do this again. And then there's the bad lesson, do it again, but never, ever, ever, back down.
Yeah.
Never crack. Not once.
Yeah. So, Alex talks to this Dr. Sean Brooks, PhD.
Of education.
Yeah. So, he talks a little bit about his going to this school board meeting and yelling a bunch of dumb shit at them.
Sure.
And I think this is becoming the favored media outlet of right-wing weirdos now.
Yeah.
Because they aren't going to be on TV. Maybe a lot of them have had their social media accounts banned.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so now they can have videos taken of them yelling at people public meetings.
Yep.
Now this is a new art form.
School boards are the new reality TV show.
Yep.
School board meetings.
Yep. It's a good way to get attention if you're really weird.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get to any like actual points that Sean wants to bring up, he has a bad handle on some decisions that have to do with COVID regulations.
And Indiana University is another example. Over the summer, before summer, they said everybody who works here and everybody who comes here has to be jabbed. End of story. As you would expect, countless students and parents started to sue Indiana University. A judge got involved, and if I'm not mistaken, the judge sided with Indiana University and said they get to do what they want. I could have that wrong, but I think that's right as to how that ended up settling out. So everybody who attends now is jabbed.
Oh, that's Amy Coney Barrett.
Sean doesn't understand how this case went with Indiana University at all. What happened was that 8 students at IU, which is not a countless number, they sued the school because they announced a vaccine mandate that applies only to the fall 2021 semester. Though this is mandated, the school offers many options for folks who can't or don't want to get vaccinated. They offer medical and religious exemptions, they'll let students take a semester off without penalty, and they provide online options for completing classes. These students had asked the court to enter a preliminary injunction to stop the mandate. The primary criteria that would be used if the court were to give that injunction is whether or not there is, quote, a strong showing that they will likely succeed on the merits of their claim, that they will sustain irreparable harm, and that the balance of harms and the public interest favor such a remedy.
Ooh, that's 0-3.
Yeah. The U.S. District Court released a 101-page opinion explaining how they do not feel that this case brought before them satisfies any of those criteria, and thus the injunction was rejected. If you read the filing, all but one of the 8 students either have a religious exemption to the mandate or would qualify but haven't even applied for one.
Sure.
That one who hasn't applied and thinks she wouldn't qualify, who knows? Maybe she would. My point is that this is kind of a farce. The fact that 7 of the 8 students suing the university over a policy that is so tailored to them that they all qualify for it not to affect them is the very definition of right-wing victimhood mentality.
I am mad at at you for this problem I don't have.
Yes. My other point is that John Brooks has no idea what this case was actually about because the details don't matter. What's important is the optics of victimhood that he's able to present using this case as a prop. When you're trying to have a serious conversation about issues that matter, it's generally not a great idea to bring up an example of a court case that you have such a weak grasp on that you have to admit on air that you might have it wrong while you use it as a defense for why you're right. Don't do that. Yeah. That's a bad look. Alex is bringing up Amy Coney Barrett because after this injunction request was denied, the students tried to pull a Mike Lindell and take things to the Supreme Court. Judge Barrett is assigned to the Seventh Circuit currently, which includes Indiana, so on paper, it was her who rejected the request to step in and overrule the district court.
Right, but
she's not the relevant judge in the case. She was who the right-wing media decided to get really mad at, though, since she was a Trump appointee, and the presumption was that she would be up for anything.
Why aren't you a rubber stamp doing whatever it is that we say?
I thought you'd be up to be real weird.
The whole point of appointing you was that you didn't know what you were doing, and you would do the dumb shit we say. How dare you act like you have any experience?
We thought that was the deal.
I get it. Like, I would be offended on if I was on their team, I wouldn't understand it. Because it's not, because when you get down to it, right, okay, she doesn't get to act like this. She's acting like she's on the Supreme Court because she should be on the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And she is not there because she should be on the Supreme Court. She should not be anywhere near the Supreme Court. She's there to do this dumb shit. So if I were them, I would be furious. How dare you act like you know what you're doing?
Well, I mean, I think she probably does know what she's doing to an extent. I mean, she's not unqualified to be a judge.
She's not unqualified to be a judge.
Probably, maybe not on the Supreme Court.
And that's
maybe a little, maybe batting a little bit outside of
exactly
her punching out of the weight class.
Exactly,
I believe is the
she's part of the deal, and if she doesn't get that, she's wrong. Like, I understand.
But I'm also pretty grateful that she's wrong.
Oh, totally. Totally. No, 100%. In the real world, yes, yeah. This is great news.
Yeah. So I was listening to this Sean fella, and I got a weird vibe on him. He just made the hair on the back of my neck stand up.
Yeah?
He really did. He was freaking me out.
Oh, boy.
Part of it was just like, you seem mad at the educational system.
Well, I mean, if you've got a PhD in education, you will get mad at the education.
Yeah, but
system.
He seemed mad in a different way than other people who, like, you know, your partner is a teacher, and we've talked a lot of times about things that are failures of the CPS.
Massive problems with public education.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there are people who are very passionate within it, the public school systems that often try to make things better.
Totally.
I didn't get that vibe from him.
See, that sounds kind of where I was falling.
I got an angry vibe from him.
That's not good.
And I just, this clip kind of made me laugh a little.
We've always known that the Rockefellers and the Carnegies have had everything to do with the K-12 textbook system. No different in higher ed. It's the exact same. They control the information. They control the minds of those individuals that don't think for themselves. And again, when I was in college, books I read were the ones that I went to the bookstore to buy. They were not the ones that the university said, well, you need to read this and you need to read that. I'd look at this $300 textbook and say, no, I'm not reading this. And I'd glance through it. I'd write a paper for the class and then that'd be it. And then I'd go to a bookstore back when bookstores existed and I would buy 2, 3, 4 books about people, history, events, psychology, sociology, anatomy, physiology, and I would put all of this together and I'd read on my own time. People have to self-educate.
So I understand that some people are just too much of free thinkers for this kind of thing, but the reason the classes have textbooks is because they're teaching a specific thing that the teacher presumably has a much better awareness of than the student.
You would think.
Typically, the teacher will know about the subject ahead of time, and the required texts will be the things that they think are best in terms of enabling a student to get the handle on the material. That's usually how this works.
I like the idea of defending your PhD thesis on education.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll just be like, hey, just, you know, informal question. We ask this of everybody. It's not even going to affect anything. Did you ever read any of the books when you were in school?
No, I read Robinson
Crusoe. Okay, we're
going to
actually, surprise, that did count. Goodbye.
I agree that there's problems with the textbook industry, particularly as it relates to how they're essentially an instrument of price gouging in colleges. Mm-hmm. But I think that what Sean is expressing here really is just that he's a blowhard and he's an anti-authority kind of guy whose streak has gone a little bit off the rails.
Yeah.
When I was in college, often the required texts for courses wouldn't be textbooks per se. Depending on the class, it could be a novel, an academic writing, or possibly like a collection of photocopied newspaper articles from the early 1900s.
Or a book the professor wrote themselves.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Although I always was a little suspicious about that. That was a little bit like, come on, man, you're self-dealing.
No, I get it. I had a science fiction author who was definitely trying to sell his own shit to the school.
That sucks.
Yeah.
But maybe it was good. Was it good?
No.
Oh.
No, he's bad.
Also, my dad's a professor, and I've spent my entire life surrounded by academia, and I have never once in my life encountered a professor or teacher who has discouraged reading, even things that aren't on the syllabus. Typically, people in academia love talking about their subject because they're really versed in it. And, you know, if you want to read a book that runs counter to their take on the subject that they know a lot about, they're going to be excited to discuss that book with you and explain to you why it misses X, Y, or Z point. They love that shit.
The idea of having a doctorate in something already suggests that you've spent clearly a decade of your life focused only on this one kind of subject.
Yeah.
Of course you better want to fucking talk about it.
Yeah.
It's your favorite thing.
Academics might be power mad psychopaths that are bent on making the big bucks and warping the minds of the youth, but they're nerds first.
Yeah, before I would believe anything, if you told me that they weren't interested in what they were talking about, you're insane.
Also, like, I love this conception of, like, you know, they give you all they indoctrinate you if you're not a free thinker.
Yeah.
It's like, what in the textbooks did the non-free thinkers remember? Like, what was it exactly from, like, history textbooks and science and math that it was retained by the non-free thinkers?
Okay, so now you're making it sound like I'm mad at a problem that doesn't exist.
Kind of.
And now, and I will say that being mad at a problem that doesn't exist is a thing that I'm mad at a problem that doesn't exist.
Mm. If you're the sort of person who's so narcissistic and oppositional defiant that you think that you can create a better syllabus than a professional in their field of expertise, then maybe formal education isn't for you. And that's cool. That's totally fine. People can be self-taught, I believe that, and I've got no disrespect for that.
I don't have a degree.
It's just that it's a lot harder for external observers to know exactly how well a person has or has not taught themselves. Degrees are generally helpful because they denote that you've learned a subject from someone who understands that subject, and they were able to help you understand it. There's no way to confer the same kind of thing with self-education. That's why it's a little bit more iffy.
Yeah.
Also, it's so funny that this dude has such a weird bone to pick about education when he himself kind of intentionally misrepresents his credentials in the video of himself at the school board meeting that went viral. He apparently does have a PhD, but he introed himself this way. Quote, Dr. Sean Brooks, PhD, Oxford. I have 48 publications, including 23 books. I've studied health, medicine, anatomy, and physiology for approximately 21 years.
There it is. I'm a doctor of health medicine.
I've studied it.
I read my own books about it.
Yeah, like I said, he didn't go to Oxford. He's from Oxford, Ohio.
What a fucking
His
dick.
Degree is from Walden University, which is an online school. However, there's more going on here than I would like. There may be a reason that Sean is mad at the public school system that he's not disclosing.
Well, does his PhD give him any access to teaching positions?
Well, according to Heavy, they were able to track down a person with a PhD named Sean McCullough Brooks.
No.
Who lives in Oxford, Ohio.
No.
They were able to find a teacher discipline case from Florida that was against a person with the same name, which resulted in a reprimand and probation after Brooks didn't confess, didn't say that he was innocent, but also agreed not to contest the accusations. I'm not going to get too deep into this because it feels really fucked up, but the issue that was behind this disciplinary action had to do with him posting videos of students discussing really personal issues on a public website without the students' parents' permission.
Jesus.
Some of the stuff involves, like, pretty personal stuff that I just creeps me out.
Yeah.
I was concerned that this was possibly not the same dude who's here on Alex's show, but first of all, Sean McCullough Brooks is a pretty specific name.
That's real specific.
And the documents for the teacher misconduct case include a 2015 letter of reprimand that's addressed to Sean Brooks, whose address is in Oxford, Ohio.
Wow.
Anyway, it might be a good idea for Alex to screen his guests in the future so he doesn't end up in this kind of situation where, you know, he's having to vouch for this guy just because his video went viral. If you're talking to somebody about how the school system is evil, it's kind of relevant to the conversation to let your listeners know that they may have a big old chip on their shoulder that's informing their positions, and it might have had to do with them being real weirdos when they were teachers.
No. Come on now. It's not personal. It's about protecting the people, Dan. It's about protecting civilians. They're just caught up in this war. They don't know. They don't have PhDs in education.
Don't you understand that the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds won't let me post weird videos?
Yeah. Also, what a weird thing whenever, like, textbooks at large are held hostage by fucking Texas's bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're really going to come after textbooks whenever half of them, just because Texas doesn't want to admit shit, say that slaves came here on a lark? Like, what are you fucking talking about? You're going to complain about textbooks.
No, there are very real issues. Yeah. They are just not the ones
Not at all. What a dick.
So I feel like these kinds of disclosures are important because they allow the audience to assess the information that's coming to them in a responsible way, because it is very relevant.
Yes.
So when you have things like this, it's just you can't do this.
You know, I mean, I've been shut out of the higher ed institutions, and it's not an accident. I've been writing
about...
Hey,
it doesn't matter. You're speaking up, and you're out there now, and you've written books, and you're taking action. Dr. Sean M. Brooks, PhD.
He's complaining that he's been shut out of higher education, and maybe it has something to do with his disciplinary past that he has, and maybe his response to that disciplinary action. I don't know. It seems like you can't... You can't have someone be like, I've been shut out of higher education because my ideas are too verboten or whatever. Yeah, yeah. And then you defend it without knowing anything about the case.
Right.
It's just it's not respectful to the individuality of the audience.
No.
And their right to take in information that they can use.
Nope. Fucked up.
Yep. So Alex, he's covered on this episode Bill Maher, Brett Favre.
Yes.
And now he saw something on
TikTok. He's covered on this episode three people talking about things that they know absolutely nothing about, but have the expertise of being good at something completely different and with no relation to that subject.
And so to follow that up, Alex decides he's going to cover something he saw on TikTok.
There we go.
Guys, get the Brian Williams clip ready. I saw some TikTok video somebody sent me. It's got a bunch of weird stuff the kids put on there, but that's all. Brian Williams, who says he was shot down in a helicopter, the RPG hit it, they crashed, nobody was shot at, no helicopters got shot at, it's a lie. Brian Williams is the NBC fact checker.
That's not true. He didn't say that his helicopter was shot down. He said his helicopter was shot at.
Yeah.
And it was the helicopter in front of him that was shot at.
Yeah.
But be that as it may, I'm not defending Brian Williams. It's just Alex is lying about the lie.
Yeah.
That'd be like, again, having a convicted pedophile run your preschool. It's equivalent of having this guy as your fact checker. He brings up Sandy Hook. Like, oh, we talk about Sandy Hook so much. Something I talked about like 15 times, 6, 7, 8 years ago. The internet questioned it.
You seem defensive.
And so they attach my identity to that and always go, oh, Jones said the mass shooting didn't happen. Well, was Smollett fake his hanging? Did they fake babies in incubators to start the Iraq war? Did ABC News show footage at the Knob Creek machine gun shootout and say it was people blowing up villages in Syria? The point is yes, we all have a right to question things. That's our free speech. I've gotten a few things wrong, not on purpose, unlike Brian Williams. Did I ever get up there and say I was shot down in a helicopter?
No, but you have said that you have prophetic dreams.
Yeah, there's definitely that.
So you've said some other things that are equally embarrassing.
Oh, boy. He's paid for a lot of abortions. He slept with over hundreds of women
by the time he was
16. Yeah. He's made a lot of claims that maybe I wouldn't want to stand by.
Yeah. So, look, here's the thing. Even if all of those things were accurate, the way Alex is presenting them, the babies in incubators, Jesse Smollett, all of it, even if everything, it still doesn't excuse his behavior as it relates to Sandy Hook.
Nope.
It has literally nothing to do with what he did. I guess he's just saying, oh, fuck that one up.
Yeah.
which is actually an evolution in his position.
I mean, it's about as close to just straight up saying, I am sorry for being wrong, mm-hmm. as I think we've gotten from him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's still obfuscation. They're still trying to deflect.
Wasn't wrong but on purpose. But wasn't there, but it was.
It is a little bit more like, I did that bad.
I didn't mean to do it a lot. I only talked about it a few times. I only dipped my toe in there. I only did all this stuff. You know what? There's other things that are bad. There's other stuff that are bad. But sometimes I did fuck up.
I only paid for half of Dan Bedondi's flight to Newtown.
Yeah, we went Dutch on it. Yeah, it was all good.
Owen's in, buddy.
Oh boy,
this is great.
Here we go.
So Owen's there when Alex plays this TikTok video.
He's inside the studio.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is so good. Okay. So Owen is gonna say, "Hey, man, listening to that Brian Williams clip, I heard 6 lies."
Uh huh.
Alex makes a huge mistake.
Uh-oh.
And he's like, what are they?
Oh, no!
I think I counted just 5 or 6 blatant lies from Brian Williams. I mean, just flat out lies. I mean, can you imagine? Like, you know, sometimes the crew will sit there and you know, you'll go on a great rant or something, or I'll go on a great rant. They'll say, hey, you know, that was good. Good job. That was powerful. Imagine the crew behind Brian Williams like, wow, this guy can just go on TV and lie like nobody's business. I mean, wow, he just went up there and just said a flat out lie. Like,
could do that,
Brian. Way to lie to the whole world. Like, that's impressive.
What were a few of the lies?
I don't even, I mean, everything he said pretty much was a complete lie, but.
Oops. Shouldn't have tried to get specific.
Oh boy.
That was a mistake.
Hey, come on, man. You're ruining the scene. The scene is we just make shit up. What are you doing here?
Yeah, the game we were playing is imagine if we were able to get away with that.
Of course
you
I
don't
didn't
need
know
the
what
specifics.
Lies. Yeah, come on, man.
It's just a general feeling of things.
Tell me what some of the lies were. Oh, man. I wasn't listening.
Everything.
Yeah, it's all a lie.
Yeah.
Everything's a lie. Good answer,
pathetic.
Buddy. Yeah.
Anyway, Owen's not allowed to talk about his case.
Oh, I wonder why.
But Alex wants to know how jail was.
We're going to come back in the final segment. Owen, you were given some rules not to talk with other January 6 people about what happened. I don't know how they do that when you're a talk show host and I'm a talk show host, but it's all on document cam. It's all on body cam. It's all on video. So we're not talking about what happened on January 6th, getting our story straight here, when our story is just the truth. But I want to know how jail went yesterday and your court case. Folks want to know about that.
Honestly, Alex keeps saying that, like, everything is on body cam, and that's actually evidence against Owen.
Yeah.
Because the problem was that he was breaking his prior agreement.
Yeah.
His deferred prosecution.
I mean, maybe he's just saying that, like, we know there's a guaranteed guilty verdict, so we don't really need to even talk about the case because he did that shit. It's all on body cam.
That could be.
Yeah.
That's an interpretation. look, this is all just fundraising. This is 100% what this is.
Yeah.
We just, before we recorded this, I'm not sure if it will when it'll be out, but we recorded a guest appearance on Opening Arguments.
Indeed. Look forward to that.
And we discussed this a bit, the case and the nature of it. It's not a big charge.
No.
Even if Owen were to be found guilty,
he'll get 64 hours of community service.
Right. It'll be something minor and a fine. It's not a big deal. But Owen's trying to raise $250,000 for his legal defense.
Gotta raise $250,000.
I said, obviously, you're trying to raise $250,000 for criminal defense. That's what it'll cost easily. If we fight it, we are fighting it. He did not break into the Capitol using physical force as he's been charged. Now he's facing at least a year in prison. We're not going to let that happen. You folks have sent $200,000 to your legal defense fund. That's great news. We want to get another $50,000. That should handle it. If folks want to go above that, that's fine. I think you should sue the Huffington Post, saying that you led the attack.
Sue the Huffington Post.
That's open and shut. And now you've been charged based on that lie. So, but you said, no, you don't want to sue them. You're upset about the mask.
Well, and we may look into other lawsuits going forward when some of the smoke starts to clear. But yeah, we have an executive order here from Governor Abbott that says you cannot mandate masks in any public buildings. And when I was in the federal building yesterday, I couldn't go in without putting a mask on.
Yeah, so apparently when he was being arraigned and processed, he had to wear a mask, and this is the real issue.
I thought it was because they were showing Eric Stoltz movie in the courtroom at the time.
That would be offensive.
Yeah.
Alex is lying that Owen was charged because of a Huffington Post article.
Sure.
He was charged.
Sue him.
Well, I mean, I think that that might be Alex maligning the Huffington Post.
I think they should sue him. I think they should countersue each other. I don't give a fuck.
I don't think the Huffington Post had anything to do with Owen making that deferred prosecution agreement.
Well, I think they did. Every time he tried to do community service, the Huffington Post would show up and slap him and break his foot so he couldn't do anything. It's cruel.
The human personification of the Huffington Post. Ariana Huffington is in the bushes, blow darting Owen with sleep darts.
Every time he's going to the soup kitchen. Oh my God, not again. Ah! Oh boy.
What an
asshole. Fuck.
Anyway, this is our last clip, and it's just to show how tough Alex is. He's very strong.
He's very strong.
And very brave.
That's what I think about.
Crime is up fivefold from just 3 years ago in blue cities. So if you're, Austin used to be a safe city, and I'm a tough guy. I will not go downtown now unless I have to at a meeting and I bring a bodyguard. I mean, it is literally like a lunatic asylum down there.
That's amazing.
So tough.
Fivefold increase in crime in blue cities is amazing, first of all.
Sure.
I don't know where that stat's coming from. I'd like him to substantiate that.
Yeah.
Second, I've been to Austin. My parents live fairly close to downtown Austin.
Insanely safe place.
not that it's like safe or unsafe or whatever, but like the idea of needing a bodyguard to go downtown is absurd, except for the fact that Alex is a celebrity.
I mean,
and in that case, like if you're, I don't know, somebody who's just like, I don't, who plays Superman.
Henry Cavill?
Yeah, he needs a bodyguard.
I almost said Dean Cain. That's how old millennials are. Millennials are old now. How dare you talk about 20-year-olds being millennials? Until you know how the rise and fall of Dean Cain went, then you know nothing!
Cavill needs a bodyguard. Not because any place may or may not be safe, but because he's a celebrity and people are going to bum rush him.
They're going to try and fuck with him.
Right. Yeah. When I went to see a Cavaliers-Lakers game when I was like 15, it was a preseason game, and Shaq was shooting free throws at pregame.
Yeah.
No one was in there. Me and my dad snuck in.
Yeah.
Shaq's shooting free throws. He's got a bodyguard while he's shooting free throws.
Yeah, of course.
So if Alex needs a bodyguard, it's because he's a famous person. Not because...
At most.
Not because Austin is such an unsafe place.
Yeah. And even then, you don't... I mean, like, if you need a bodyguard... saying bodyguard, then you probably earned that need. You know what I'm saying? Like, Henry Cavill may have a what would be more like a bouncer of just like, hey man, I know there's just so many people that want to get up to him at the same time. We just need an orderly line here. But if you need somebody who's got a gun and is just like, hey man, if anybody comes at you, I'm going to shoot him. Mm-hmm. That's because you're an asshole.
Yeah, Alex has a team on the roof.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's got ninjas that are just on the roof.
Yeah. If you're a politician walking around with a fucking bulletproof vest on, it's probably because you have it coming.
Mm.
Or at least you've done something to earn it.
Possibly.
Or you're a piece of shit.
I don't know. My feeling is just that it's a little silly.
Yeah.
So
true.
We come to the end of this, and I think Owen is a political prisoner who's able to make tons of money on a misdemeanor nonsense.
Unreal.
I don't know if it's not a misdemeanor, but like, yeah,
unreal.
He's not going to get in any fucking trouble, and he's raising tons of money.
$250,000.
Really just the essence of what it means to be a freedom fighter.
Yeah.
You know, it's really important. He's doing the big work, and I admire it.
Meanwhile, his
boss, Alex, is back in studio anchoring this shit, doing the real serious work of talking about
Bill Maher, uh-huh.
Brett Favre,
uh-huh.
talking to a weirdo about education.
Yep. Yeah.
Because he had a viral video, which is very cool.
That's why you got to get him out there.
And then bickering about whether or not he thinks Trump's a dumbass and whether or not the media covered it correctly.
Man.
It's amazing.
Who was in that meeting?
Everything is pointless.
That meeting, there had to have been a meeting where after Schroer turned himself in. No, it'd probably be on Sunday before Schroer turned himself in.
Mm.
And it's Alex and it's a couple of lawyers at least. I'm sure Barnes is on the call.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they're just like, okay, how do we make...
We're going to be rich.
Yeah, what do we do? What's the cap we set on that? Like, because that's the conversation. They were like, okay, no, we can't say $1 million. Nobody would believe we needed $1 million. But if we say a smaller amount that's still high, we'll reach it and then get beyond it.
Yeah.
And then we can add, like, extra
stretch
stuff.
Goals.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. Totally.
So it's like the legal fees of the 250 grand.
Right.
If we reach 500 grand, we'll keep Owen out
exactly.
of prison.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Like it had to have been that because none of them were like, is he going to be okay? That was never a question. It was how much profit can we pull off of this?
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
What is the potential for this ruse?
What's the right number to start with?
Yeah. And I bet he consulted actuary tables because Alex loves to bring up actuaries. I mean, it's really disgraceful and pathetic and exactly what I would expect from these ding dong yahoos.
You got it.
Jordan, we'll be back.
We will be back.
And I would love it if by the next time we record, Owen Schroyer has been sentenced to 30 years in prison and we're totally wrong about this.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
That would be pretty funny.
We've decided to make an example out of Owen Schroyer. It would be a good thing to wake up to.
We're going
to
charge him something comically outside the potential punishment.
Yes, absolutely.
For what he did.
Yep.
We have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
It's knowledgefight.com.
Oh, that's your line.
Yep.
We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at knowledgefight. Go to bed, Jordan.
We're also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. It's knowledgefight. If you could please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out people do it in God's work.
Yeah, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundus.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.